Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, it's Jacob Daniel here. How you doing? So, if you haven't already, go watch the last episode, Daniel 3 Podcast, episode 93, to get caught up on what's going on. I am still here with you, Jacob Daniel, but the Daniel 3 Podcast is over. Instead, I'm going to focus on the new podcast with the Libertarian Christian Institute, the Biblical Anarchy Podcast, and instead of the Daniel 3 Podcast, I will be resuming my semi-regular appearances on the Mises Caucus Pennsylvania Take Human Action Podcast. So this audio feed will now be purposed for that. So you'll still get to hear from me, still hear me have conversations with other libertarians and whatnot, or even people who aren't libertarians, just to have conversations that are generally pertaining to the topics of libertarian ideology or politics, current events, things in culture, etc. So this feed will still have episodes and stuff that I hope that you will enjoy and content that I think will bring value to you. This episode that I'm going to give you today is one that I did back in December. And so we're going to be going back through some of the back catalog and working our way up to the current day episodes that are coming out. The episodes will be coming out weekly once everything gets kind of set up and finalized. But this is a conversation I had back in December with Michael Heiss on the Mises Caucus's new venture, Project Decentralized Revolution. And so we talk about that, talk about the future of the Libertarian Party and the strategy that we are hoping to implement. So even if politics isn't your main jam, I hope you can understand the value of conversations like this and maybe get some value out of that and, you know, maybe have your mind changed into the utility of political activism, because I think that the Mises Caucus strategy is something that is different than what the Libertarian Party of old used to do. It's different than just normal political strategies. It's a unique strategy based on, as the name suggests, decentralized approaches and trying to bolster our presence in the communities. So that's it. I just wanted to give a little introduction. I'll be giving introductions for probably the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes, just so that regular listeners of the Daniel 3 Podcast aren't completely taken aback and they understand what's going on. So again, if you want to keep hearing things like you used to hear on the Daniel 3 Podcast, things pertaining to more of that Christian libertarian umbrella, so to speak, you can go check out the new podcast, if you haven't already, at biblicalanarchypodcast.com, or look up Biblical Anarchy Podcast on any of your podcatchers, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. But I do hope that you will continue to stay subscribed here to the Mises Caucus Podcast. You'll still hear from me here as well, and I'll dive into topics here that I can't really dive into on the other podcast. So that's it for the little introductions here. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Michael Heiss.
All right, I think we're working now. All right. Welcome, everyone, to Take Human Action PA, episode 26. This is Calvin returning with co-hosts Autumn and our prodigal biblical anarchist, Jacob Daniel. How are you both doing?
Hey, great.
I'm glad to be here. Glad to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while. We almost forgot about you.
I couldn't let that happen.
No, of course not. Couldn't go too long without having you back. So glad to have you back now. We do have a special mega stream tonight with a very special guest. So we'll bring him on because he's got limited time here. Michael Heiss, how are you doing today?
Yeah. I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So you are just going on talking about all the new projects that you've got going on. And that's really exciting, everything with the Project Decentralized Revolution, Run as Libertarian.
You seem excited, Calvin. You seem excited.
You're right. I've been reading it too much, and now we got to get
Calvin's
into the details
voice.
Of it and tell everybody what it's all about. So, but before we get to that, why don't you tell us just in a broad sense what's been going on behind the scenes at the caucus level and the party level since Reno? What's been happening?
Gotcha. So, yeah, obviously we had a little bit of success at the Reno convention, taking all of the leadership positions. And, ever since then, we have been very, very hard at work under the hood on a lot of different things. You know, what we started with first was kind of just checking ourselves, a little bit and reassessing ourselves and professionalizing a bit as an organization. You know, so we got to work on a lot of like internal documentation, stuff like that, a formal business plan, internal documents for our organizers, guidelines, moving into professional software like our CRM. This whole time we have not been using a CRM. We've been using Google Sheets and duct tape, essentially. Moving into our actual CRM, get these documents ready to go. And then with that, once we got through all of that, kind of developing the next big thing, like what is next for the caucus? Because that was the question that everybody had is, all right, you guys took over. So like, what's next? And, I always thought it was kind of funny that there was people who had that question to the extent that they did, because we've kind of always said what we're going to be doing, and at least to some extent, we always said that, well, it's local level candidates, it's issues, it's, party organizing and that's the overall strategy. So now it was incumbent upon us to create a campaign to actually scale up everything but the party organizing, which is, what the takeover was. It was recruitment and organizing in the party, creating new county parties, attending, joining committees, becoming leaders within the party, and all of this stuff. And, I think that cemented, like, the fact that we did that and the fact that we took over the party, it cemented us as, maybe the second organization in the entire country that has displayed that we have like a nationwide group of engaged, mobilized, organized people, second maybe only to Young Americans for Liberty. So, that really put us on the map. And, while we have this high energy and while we have this buzz with the takeover and the attention of the Liberty movement, it's time to move on to the next step, the next part of the program. We always said that the takeover was just step one. So, the next step, like I said, is scaling up the local level issues. It's scaling up the issue coalition. So we had to come up with the campaign on what exactly does that look like? How exactly are we going to do that? And it's from those conversations that Project Decentralized Revolution was born.
All right. Thanks, Mike. So, it sounds like with Project Decentralized Revolution, the way we've been talking about it, that's the big picture. But then there's different aspects of it. So there's the Take Human Action Tours and there's Run as Libertarian with the new websites that you've launched. So why don't you start at the top and with what Project Decentralized Revolution is and break down the different steps for us and how that's going to manifest itself.
So Project Decentralized Revolution, one way to think about it is it's almost like our version of Operation Win at the Door, like what y'all has, where they like hyper focus on state house races and they mobilize people to knock doors and like get those wins. That we took a lot of inspiration from that. So it is two programs, that the whole Project Decentralized Revolution thing is two programs. The first one is the Run as Libertarian campaign. And, you know, we launched this about a month and a half ago. And, you know, just off of some emails to our list, we've recruited 140 people who are running for office already, and over 60 people that want to be campaign managers. So, you know, that already blew out our goals for what we thought we would have at this point. So, you know, we're recruiting the candidates, but then what? What are we doing with them? Well, the Libertarian Party has had a massive dearth of infrastructure for really its entire history. You know, there's not there were some trainings and, you know, last year the party had started a like regional training program where you can get a certificate and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's not what you might call a robust training environment, you know, where really where we need to get to is an environment such that if you're a candidate and you're not trained, it's your fault. You know, like no excuses. We have to provide so many opportunities that it's their fault if they're not trained. And, so we're trying to start that operation with Run as Libertarian. So that's runaslibertarian.com. And, you know, we'll give you the training no matter what office you're running for. But, you know, we're also going to be blunt with people and say, if you're running for Congress, we don't think you should do that. We don't think that is a good idea. You know, you should run for city council. You should run for school board. You should run for mayor, something like that. And, you know, we've had dual training efforts so far. So, you know, we've done 2 months of live online training with the Leadership Institute. So like very professional training, you know, that has produced a lot of results for other people that have taken it. Also like developing our own internal training program. And this has been spearheaded by Amy Lepore, some people might recognize that name. She was the tip of the spear in Delaware when they were being like besieged by like thieves, essentially trying to steal the state party over there. And so she is now our candidate support director, and she's got a whole team of people under her, you know, helping her to interview these candidates, helping her to organize volunteer efforts. You know, we only added her to the board maybe 3 months ago. And in those 2 months before the midterms, she turned around and got 500 hours of volunteer hours, you know, done, like phone bankers, people helping with graphics, people helping with, you know, interviewing the candidates for endorsement, you know, door knocking, all of that stuff. And that's, again, something we want to scale up. So she's also overseeing a team of already elected Mises Caucus people who are, you know, they've already formed their own training modules. So the idea is to kind of not only have Leadership Institute and their expertise and their experience, but also to get the community training the community, because the community is probably the strongest element of the entire caucus. And I think the thing that, you know, drove us to the success of the takeover to begin with. And it's the thing that we now have to like nurture and foster and grow and, you know, feed the flames of that community to empower it to do as well as possible with these races. So that's step one.
So you mentioned sort of that, you know, now that we've taken over the party, that we need to be, you know, focusing on filling up these positions within the party, running candidates and training people to do that. And that there's been some of that in the party in the past, but not really enough, not really a massive concentrated effort to make that stuff available. You know, maybe could you provide the people listening just a couple examples of like, you know, lessons or ideas for running an effective campaign that, you know, people haven't really been utilizing in the past that we want to, you know, show people going forward, you know, how to do that better. And then also, like, once people get into these positions, you know, local city councilor or school board or et cetera, you know, what can they be in a position to do, you know, and, you know, kind of touch on that in terms of the strategy that we want to promote, you know, as the Mises Caucus.
Well, I don't want to give too much away in terms of what the lessons are, because I want people to sign up and run as Libertarian.
Little sneak preview.
Yeah. And when I say training so far, these have been like, all of them have been 3 hour long training sessions. But like, for example, are people even canvassing, like the work that goes into making the decision to run, you know, knowing what number of votes they would need to win, how to identify likely voters, you know, how to identify coalition opportunities, how to even gauge how they should run their messaging as a candidate. You know, I don't think most of our candidates are doing surveys, for example, but that's something that we really need. If you're a Republican, you kind of know what your base, you know, wants more or less, and then you kind of smooth things out once you're in the primary to appeal to some moderates in the middle, center left people, you know, things like that. We don't have that built-in base advantage. So we have to do a lot of work to know what people want in our communities. And again, these are like local focused races. The people also need, they can't just come up out of the ether and run for these offices. They need to be going for committee appointments. They need to be engaged in their community. They need to be leaders in their community in the organic sense. And you know, somebody that people know and are out there. If you're just some guy who's never run before and you don't have any data and you don't know who your base is and you don't know how to message and you're not present in the community, good luck. You know what I mean? Good luck. There's a lot of prep work that goes into even being a solid candidate. So, you know, that's one thing. But again, these are 3-hour modules, you know, each. And so we've had the Leadership Institute for 2. Our next one is on the 7th with the Leadership Institute. Mark Bazzacco, who ran for State House here in Pennsylvania, he hosted the first kind of in-house training. So, yeah, I mean, we're doing that. We're looking at reaching out to eCanvasser and having them do a training so we can start training people on tools and technology, you know, kind of covering the whole ground. And then I'm sorry, what was the second question?
Oh, like what people can do, you know, once they get there, and obviously not wanting to give too much away, but just, you know, like I can speak and I think you can speak too from experience, you know, as like here in Pennsylvania, we both ran and won, you know, got into office, but we were in positions that really didn't have any ability to really do anything. And I think like the old strategy was just sort of run anywhere and anytime you can and just win. And then, you know, step two is question mark, right, and step three is profit.
So it's all numbers.
Right. Yeah. So obviously we have a different idea of like, you know, you can actually do stuff while you're in office. And that's obviously, you know, things that we've talked, I think we've been pretty public about things that we want to do, but, you know, maybe emphasize some of the ideas and stuff that, you know, we're going to be, you know, how we're going to be equipping people to actually take human action once they get into those positions.
Yeah, I will say, I can say as a now formerly elected libertarian that, yeah, the positions that we were really trying to get people into serve no real purpose. And that's why I resigned. I would actually go as far as to say that they were a detriment for our way spread thin volunteer base. Like if you're, yeah, if you're an elections inspector, like I was before I resigned, I can't volunteer for our candidates who very desperately need volunteers. You know what I mean? Like, and so where's the value really, you know? And some people might say, well, you know, how could you say that? You know, we have all these election integrity problems and, you know, you're an elections inspector. It's like, it's not as glamorous as it sounds. It's more like, here's your form. The machine's that way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
I had the same problem as a constable. It was like, I'm required to work the polls, but I can't like work the polls as a libertarian who's like handing out literature and trying to like talk to the people as they're coming in about who they're voting on. I have to be there and like provide security, but I also can't provide security because I didn't spend the $5,000 worth of state mandatory training to be able to do so. So I just show up there and stand and do nothing. It's just
right,
complete waste of time.
Right. And you know, these were expensive programs that got people in these seats. So we want to kind of shift away from number padding so that we can say, okay, we got this number of libertarians elected, and kind of refocus on what the party was actually designed to do from its founding, from people like David Nolan, which is how do we expand liberty? And there's multiple domains of that. There's the cultural, socio domain, there's the political domain, you know, and you know, we have to cover both of those. But to the extent that we are engaged in politics, we have to have a realistic like political strategy. And the party has never had a strategy. That's a big part of the problem. And I'm finding out more and more that like how integral that is to everything else. Because if you don't have a political strategy, you can't really have a fundraising strategy. And if you don't have a fundraising strategy to go along with your political strategy, you don't really have a strong recruitment strategy. You know, people join political parties to do political shit. And if you come in and say, well, you know, we're trying to like support candidates and have a Christmas party, you know, it there's no heft there, you know? So like you have to give them, no, we want to run for these races. We think they're winnable for these reasons. We're fundraising for these tools to make it that much more realistic and give people concrete, you know? And that's what we're trying to do. So the types of races that we're recruiting and training for are city council, school board, mayor, judge, sheriff. And these are seats that libertarians can and do win. They do win them. You know, and we can win more of them if we're smart about it. You know, it's still hard at certain places. You know, Philadelphia, you might, you know, you're going to need $300,000 if you want to win a city council race in Philly. It's just the reality of it. But there is a lot of places where you can win. And I know that there's very good research going on here in Pennsylvania, looking at the vote totals at a lot of these municipal races. And there's a lot of these races that are more, you know, winnable than you might think. Like you might need 50 votes or less to get them. And so again, what has ever been our pitch to knock registered libertarian doors? If you go like across the country, it's something like less than 10% of registered libertarians are members of the Libertarian Party. What are we offering them? You know, like what is the plan? So now, like, let's say I have no idea, but Jacob, let's say you happen to find a city council race that's you know, very winnable. And then the state party were to turn around and say, okay, you are one of 30 or 40 candidates that are in these winnable races. So we need $10,000 so that we can get e-canvasser and that we can get this data that shows not just who the registered libertarians are, but who are the registered libertarians that have voted in three or four of the last four races. And then you can target those doors, knock those doors, and tell them what I just said. You know, like, we have an actual strategy and I need your vote and I need your help. You know, and actually like recruit them. And the whole thing comes full circle at that point when you have the political strategy, which then feeds the fundraising strategy, which then forms the basis of a recruitment strategy beyond just, well, we've got great ideas, even though we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just say real quick, it can't be emphasized enough that this is a complete deviation from what the party and any group operating within the party has done up to this point. There's been no semblance of a long-term plan or a consistent strategy that was anything beyond, you know, something that didn't have long-term results other than just like, oh, let's do this because this will somehow lead to party growth. But so this is a great change, right? We actually have a plan, something we can point to and steps to get there. So in that sense alone, it's a lot of progress.
I'm curious to hear what you have to say, Autumn, because you know you were a candidate in this most recent election. Does this ring true to you, or you know, what do you think?
Yeah. Well, so I think the effort that's being put forth in the latest iteration to make sure that we get enough support people for candidates is big, because I think one of the things that we suffered from over the past year was the real push to make progress, right? And the instinct was, how many people can run and let's run them. And the really good thing that happened as a result of that is that we've got a lot of people who did double duty as both campaign manager and candidate. And so from that, and me being one of them, we've got a lot of people who learned a lot. But one of the things that we definitely learned was that it's really tough to be your own campaign manager while running as a candidate, right? So I really like that there's a focus going on and that we're paying a lot more attention to how many people are coming in as support personnel to help get us through. You know, and one of the things that you're touching on about fundraising, I think the most honorable candidates are very likely to also be the kind of people who don't like to ask for money because they're coming in with really honest intentions. And from the libertarian perspective, a person with honest intentions knows that your average voter is already being raked over the coals as far as the government asking them for money. So to ask for money as a candidate feels weird, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had to get over it.
Yeah, no, I've heard.
Yeah, you've been making a lot of donor calls to raise money for the latest initiative. So,
yeah, I'm curious, actually, you know, what you've been making a lot of calls lately, Mike, and we've talked a little bit about this behind the scenes, but like, you know, this is something like you've mentioned before that the Libertarian Party has never done before. And, you know, as you're reaching out and talking to people about it, like, what are people's reactions? Because like, I don't know if people are like, maybe still a little wary of like the Libertarian brand because of what it's represented in the past, or if they're able to look past that because like they see what we're providing is like such a stark difference from that past that maybe it's something that people are actually like getting excited about having a chance to get behind and support. So what have those interactions been like?
I've gotten a lot of support, and kind of what I was saying before of like, you have to have a political strategy and that informs the fundraising strategy. Like that is kind of my observation having done these calls. You know, the few people that I've called who haven't donated, you know, they have legitimate reasons. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a health problem or maybe they just, you know, got laid off, or maybe they're between jobs or something like that. But almost everybody that I've called has given. And the general response is, you know, we've been waiting for this infrastructure. You know, like we need this infrastructure. And, you know, it's still a humble effort. Like this is our first year of doing this. But, you know, if you like, this strategy is something that can very easily scale, right? So like, let's hypothetically say that there's 50 of these positions where we're targeting city councils and stuff like that, that have 50 votes or less. Okay. And then let's say we go out and we bang on half of them or whatever. Okay. Year two, proof of concept done. We're going up to 150 votes, and you just keep scaling in the levels of realism that the base you have built makes possible. You know, maybe 300 votes couldn't be done right now, but 2 years from now, when we have 60 people who are elected to city council who are doing, you know, gun sanctuaries, weed legalization, shroom decriminalization, surveillance state technology bans, all this stuff, like, you know, and we're actually changing communities, and then you get this like word of mouth effect going on, like, and you get the network effect essentially. And I'm really big on this concept of brand trust, because you always have less brand trust than you have brand recognition. And right now we don't even have much brand recognition. So we have to provide that, like we have to give reasons that people are reasons to trust us. Now, the unfortunate part about that is that it means us as libertarians, like the amount of work per person that we're required to do is going to be way higher than the Republicans the Democrats, because they basically just have this built-in base, and, you know, they have their friends, and okay, we nominated this person. We know that we have, you know, six-figure registered Republicans that will go out for the vote. We don't get that luxury, you know, so we have to really work on the margins and really find and exploit the gaps, you know, which is why I was always a big proponent of you know, going to city council and working issue coalitions, because again, it's all about trust. Why, if you're a Republican or a Democrat, seriously, why should you trust us? Even if you agree with like with this position or that position, why should you trust us? Why would you trust us more than your in-group? Why would you suffer the social ostracization from leaving your in-group to trust us? There's not much of a reason. So it's incumbent upon us to create that reason. So like, you have to go out and say, you know, if you live in a red town, I've said this a million times, but if you live in a red town and you have a bunch of conservatives, but they don't have a gun sanctuary, well, what the frig is those politicians' problems? You know what I mean? Like, and we can be the people who come in waving the legislation saying, no, I actually give a shit about this. These people just pretend to give a shit about this. And you just, and count on you just going and voting against the other side. Like, it's time to stop this, you know, like, and so that's the kind of stuff where if we come in and exploit those gaps, it starts to build up the trust. Then we can have the conversations from a place of trust. Because right now we're not in the in-group, and there's no reason to trust us, even though our ideas are legit.
Right. And I think the next part of the decentralized revolution is going to help with that. So I wanted to make sure to give you a chance to expand upon the
Human Action Tours. Yeah.
Right. So that's the crux of it, I think, because that's going to allow a lot of the candidates to capitalize on some of the experience they've gained and, you know, take it to the next level. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the pilot event, how that came about, how it turned out, and then what you're doing with it next.
Gotcha. So the pilot event was, we did call it the Take Human Action Tour. This was something we did last year, 2021, down in Fairfax, Virginia, right by George Mason University at a hotel down there. And, you know, we had Maj Toure out. We had Tom Woods out. We had Daniel McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute out. We had Patrick Newman from the Mises Institute out, and, you know, brought a whole bunch of people together and just had a speaking event and a social. And, you know, we had about 300 people there. And we as the caucus, you know, across the country, we have a very rich history of having well-attended well-attended events. I mean, we had that event in Pittsburgh last year, and that had like 450 people at it, and it was just like a totally electric atmosphere. I had mentioned earlier about how important the community element is within the Libertarian Party, and I think that that has been missing from the party for a long time, and it's something that we as a caucus have that the party has lacked. And I think it's the main thing that sets us apart from kind of the rest of the party, and something that we need to inculcate within the party. So having a community is the thing that keeps people together and keeps people motivated, even when they lose. It's the thing that keeps people together. It's the bonds that we make in the trenches, you know, and it almost like trauma bonds us, you know, like all, oh, yeah. All of this, like,
we've been there.
All of this ballot access bullshit and all of this media attack bullshit, like it really does. It like bonds us together. And this is the thing that characterized the Ron Paul movement. This is the thing that made it so special. This is the thing that's so absent, that's starkly absent for anybody that was a part of the Ron Paul thing that is not part of the party. The problem is nowadays, like, I'm only 33 years old and I'm like the old grizzled veteran. There's a lot of young people who were not a part of the Ron Paul thing. They don't know what it's like to have a healthy, strong, vibrant, scary community. You know, that, and like that the mainstream media is scared to death of us and like blacking us out and all this stuff. And then we have to like rise above that. And we have a night where everybody across the fucking country goes out and puts signs outside because that's how hard we believe in this shit. You know what I mean? Like we don't have that. You know what I mean? The only people who understand that are like right now are the people who experienced the Ron Paul thing. And so like we have to inculcate that kind of enthusiasm as a community. Only it can't just be around any one person. It has to be a decentralized revolution that sticks around in the long term and is kind of humble and honest about what its intentions are. Now, why this is like a rant when I didn't answer the event thing yet. That's to say, this is what the events are about. It's all about community building and bringing people together and kind of infecting people with that energy and with that community feeling. And I really think that that's the thing that gets people to buy in. Yeah. You know, so the idea is it's a proposed 8-city tour across the country. And, you know, we bring out all the stars of the movement. Now, different events are going to have different people, but we're talking Tom Woods. We're talking Dave Smith. We're talking Jeff Dice. We're talking, you know, Patrick Newman and Jonathan Newman and Gene Epstein and all these different scholars and economists from the Mises Institute. We're talking Maj Toure. We're talking Michael Rechtenwald. You know, Michael Rechtenwald is awesome. He's like the libertarian version of James Lindsay, you know, like and like that hit, like he has a probably the most pronounced focus on the technocracy in the movement, as well as like the most robust knowledge of the history of postmodernism and like all of these, the history of all of these ideas that we call wokeism. You know what I mean? Michael Bolden and Mike Meharry from the 10th Amendment Center. I think we got Murray Sabrin. He's another. This is a guy who has started his own endowment at Ramapo College in New Jersey. Has been around in our movement for 50 years, multiple time author, new Murray Rothbard, you know? And so like bringing all of the stars, all the people that inspired us to care about these ideas and have them bring us together in these events and let the community effect take hold, talk about our favorite topics of, you know, political decentralization, war and peace, Austrian economics, you know, all of that stuff. But then couple that with candidate training. Like give people the opportunity to say, okay, you know what, this shit's pretty cool. You know, I'm down, you know, and offer candidate training. And, you know, if we can average, the hope for us is that we can average about 250 people per event. And, you know, that's a relative thing. You know, I don't think all of them, like, is our Oklahoma City event going to have the most people? Probably not, you know, but there's going to be some that get over 300, like there was at our PA event where there was 450. You know, there was an event with like almost 350 in Texas earlier this year. You know, like there's, you look at the convention, between the delegates and the alternates, we had about 1,000 people in Reno who spent like money, took time away from their families. And then for every person that was at Reno, there was 10 people at the state convention that voted for them to be there. And then for every one of those people, there was somebody who was like, oh shit, I have work that weekend, I can't make it. You know, like, and so like there is legitimately a strong community around the country that we have built up that is not present anywhere else in the Liberty movement. And it's important and it's worth fighting for. So like, that's, that is what the tour is about, is bringing all these people together, getting people amped up on the ideas, amped up enough to where it's like, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for my community. And I'm going to nullify these bastards. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and that's,
Well, so, you mentioned getting people to buy in, and you know, it's funny that that's exactly what the Pittsburgh event is, really what got me to like fully buy in. Because up until like before then, like you and I met like at the 2019 PA convention, because Luke dragged me there, and I remember leaving going, "What the, you know, this is this?
What have you gotten into?
Like this is such a waste of freaking time." after the 2021 convention, when that like convention was so hard, but like as hard as that that weekend was, like on the LP side, those two nights with Dave Smith and then Jeff Deist. Like, man, like that was so invigorating. And like, I don't think I've, like, other than really profound religious experiences that I've had, I've never been in a room with that kind of energy. And you know, there's that saying that like preaching to the choir is, some people view it as a waste of time. But you know what? Like, the choir needs preached to. Like, people need to be encouraged, and people need to be like, you know, inspired to, like, you know, like you were mentioning, when we go through rough times, and we've been through rough times, and we're going to go through rough times again, like, we got to get stuff that gets us pumped to keep doing that grind. And so I think these events are like if you haven't been to one of them, like, you have to go to them, because there's really not much like them, and they really get you pumped up to get involved, get plugged in, and do the work.
Yeah, and this kind of thing just doesn't happen in the party. You never see an LP event where there's 400 plus people. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah,
and like you said, the energy in that room, like, that had me chomping on that gum like I was on coke, and I wasn't. I was just like, holy shit. But yeah, man, it's important. So like, you know, we've got the cities picked out right now. We're in the part of the process for the tour where, like, we have the cities picked out. We've hit up multiple hotels in each of the cities, and like, we're telling them what we need. We're getting the bids back, and we're starting to like line that up. But we've got the cities lined up. We've got the speakers lined up. It's going to be New York, Chicago, Knoxville, Austin, Texas, Berkeley, California, Denver, Colorado, Indianapolis, and Oklahoma City.
Yeah. And where can we find the dates for that, so people can mark their calendars?
So the dates are not up yet, but they will be coming soon. The right now, the preliminary information is on decentralizedrevolution.com. But like I said, we're still locking things in, you know, want to make sure that the venues have the date and, you know, all of that stuff. So I don't want to, you know, we have them down and we have commitments for them. It's just the hotels right now.
All right, I'll drop it in the chat just so people can save it.
And I think Mike has to wrap up soon, I suspect, right? Am I on target with your timing?
Yeah, I could probably do another like 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, so I think I've got a good point for us to end on, and I'll give some perspective about how relatively new I am to the movement. My first, aside from a couple of county affiliate meetings, my first in-person event with the party was Friday night at Williamsport at the state convention in 2022 with Tom Woods and Dave Smith doing their Friday night thing. And that was really inspirational to me. And relatively speaking, that was nothing. That was a drop in the bucket. So from that perspective that I'm bringing to the table, I see in a different light the integration of the Mises Caucus, you know, dominance of the party at this point. I wasn't here for all the time of the buildup and all the conflict. And I'm thinking, I see a lot of really good things happening with people who are not Mises, who are still with the party. And I'm wondering if there's anything that you want to, I think it's a really good opportunity to speak to those people, or maybe even the people sitting on the sidelines who are waiting to see how things play out. Because I think we've got really good partnerships building, and some of them I'm seeing coming out with great ideas and feeling unleashed.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, and I think there's now ample opportunity for them to realize this or engage with this. But the truth of the matter is that while, yes, we want to recruit people and we want people in the caucus and all of that, at the end of the day, what we really want is for people just to be honest and decent and work, like to be able to work together. The reality is that, you know, during the takeover phase of things, there was a lot of people who they did not share that sentiment. They were, and in some cases are still, willing to burn the party down. They were willing to perhaps steal data. They were willing to use member money to send hit pieces out in our newspapers. Like, and, you know, that was never what we set out to do, but we kind of had to fight that fight. And if you were on, if you were like a neutral party, you know, I've always used this analogy of like, you know, if you're in a grocery store and you're shopping and a gunfight breaks off, in the moment, who shot first isn't really on your mind. You know what I mean? You're like, what's on your mind is I got to get the fuck out of here. However, libertarian theory dictates that who shot first is everything that matters. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and so, but when you're in the heat of the moment, you're just in a gunfight and you're just trying to keep your head down. And so now the smoke is clearing and I think they can like kind of make their own judgments and see, you know, hopefully see the value of what we are trying to do. You know, I don't know of any time in history in the part of the party where there was like a long-term focus campaign to build up the community and the infrastructure of the party the way that we're proposing. You know, I personally make calls across the aisle more than anybody will ever know. And you know, I do my best to kind of offer people positions where they fit best or how we can work together. Okay, well, maybe you're not with us on here, but you know, you do think that membership is the primary metric of success. So like, can we work together on that, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, that's what we have to do. And again, just like it's incumbent upon libertarians to go to like city council and be the
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Catalyst on the issues or whatever, it's incumbent upon us as Mises Caucus people to cross the aisle to these people and extend our hands now that the smoke is clear. Because as far as these people can tell, like this, like Tasmanian devil just rolled through the party and like caused a war. You know what I mean? I don't believe that that's how it's happened. In fact, I know that's not how it happened, but I'm just saying like perceptually, you know, so it's incumbent upon us to say, no, like, this is what we want to do. We want you involved. Okay. Even if you don't want to be involved, where is something that best suits you? Like, how do we best suit your skill sets or your focuses and stuff like that? We have to be magnanimous, essentially. And that's a responsibility of ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And with these initiatives that we're launching, I think the people that are able to come to one of these events or attend one of these trainings, they're going to immediately see how far we've come. And I'm really looking forward to it. I hope to go to the New York one. And I'm looking forward to the PA convention as well. We'll get into detail on that in the second half of the show. But Jacob, did you have anything else you wanted to add before we wrap?
No, I don't think so. The only thing, you know, when Autumn brought up the Friday night at the last PA convention with Tom and Dave, it was reminding me, my favorite part of that night was they spent 5 minutes arguing about which one of them was the better messenger. So I was thinking back to that. I don't know.
Still an open debate. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man. That would be quite a debate, but yeah, I just say to everyone, like, you really should, like any of you, make an effort to attend one of the in-person events, whether that be one of the Taking Action tours, the PA convention, the next national convention, or preferably all of the above, because it'll just be an experience you won't forget. You'll meet lots of cool people. We'll be at a lot of them ourselves, and so you'll get to meet us and hang out with lots of cool libertarians, and meet some interesting speakers and learn a lot of good stuff in the process.
Absolutely. So the projectdecentralizedrevolution.com, where you can see the overview of the whole strategy and kind of see the details that we do have up about the tour right now. If you are as hyped up as I am about running for city council and taking responsibility for your own community, like we have to do, that's what must be done here. Runislibertarian.com, sign up, get the trainings, and run for city council, run for mayor, run for school board. Take charge of your community. And, if you want to donate, you can go to takehumanaction.com and hit the donate button there. Help us get these tours underway. Help us get us booked up and, get through the whole thing.
Right. So Run As Libertarian is for candidates looking and campaign managers looking for the trainings. And then Project Decentralized Revolution right now shows the Take Human Action tour of cities and gives an overview for that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I posted all of those in the comments, and I think that's about it then. So, Autumn, do you have anything to add since you just got back?
Yeah, so sorry, rookie move. I let my battery die. I think it's great. I think I'm really excited. I've got to say, for anyone who's not really involved in the party, the whole conversation this whole year has been all about how we can improve every step of the way, every little surprise we've had. We've talked about how we can integrate, okay, doing it better next time. And so that's, a really great attitude that's being brought to the table that I think, again, if you're not right up there or on any boards or really involved to know that that's how we're working. It's great. It's great so far. I'm really proud to be a part of it. And especially since I got on so late and I missed so much of the pain.
Right. And well, you're still going to get to experience the ride along with us of seeing the party grow. And I think that'll be more evident over the next year from the candidate side, which you've done a lot with, and and even inside the party that Jacob and I have been doing a lot on, where we'll notice improvements across the board, and I'm looking forward to it.
So, I've already noticed. Thanks again. I mean, like my like I told Mike the other day, like my county's been growing, and I haven't even been putting the work in. People just been noticing the change in the culture and noticing that the LP is standing for something now, and people are just coming. Like
There
is such a demand for what we're selling. People have just been waiting for us to sell it.
Well, hell yeah, right, guys. So
thanks again, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Take human action, fellas and lady.
All right.
Good night.
Okay, so now we're going to transition to the second half of the show, and we'll talk about stuff that's going on specifically in Pennsylvania. Rob Coburn has not joined us yet, so we'll wait for him to talk about some of the stuff related to the LPPA and the convention, if he's able to join us later on. But for now, as teased, I want to drop the announced Call to Human Action, which is a separate initiative from everything that Mike just talked about. It's Pennsylvania specific, and we are looking to mobilize the caucus members that we have here, because I don't have an exact ranking, but I'm pretty sure that Pennsylvania, in terms of the number of members of the caucus, has got to be at least top five, maybe three or four, in terms of the number of people in the caucus in a single state. So we're definitely high up there. We've got several hundred people at least on our membership list. So now that we have this organizer team of almost 15 people, we've been able to do so much more. Autumn, I'll defer to you for a minute. Maybe you can tell us some of the highlights from this past year that we've been able to do in terms of, like, on the election side. What are some of the some of the biggest takeaways that we've been able, of what we've been able to accomplish this past year on the candidate side?
Well, you know what, I'll since we put it a little more, we're a little more kind about the matter when we put it in writing. So I'll just say it straightforward. Up until this year, I think it's been a pretty common trend that the LPPA has been paying petitioners to help collect signatures, right? So when we talk about this accomplishment, I see us putting it, and I think it's the classy thing to do. So hold on, let me take a sip of my wine while I drop
it. Yeah, go for it.
But so we're saying it's the first year that we've gotten all of our ballot access petition signatures on a fully volunteer basis. And when we say that, what we mean is all the other years, the party was actually spending money to pay people to do that. So not only, so this now it makes a little more significant the next thing, which is what we typically list as the first bullet point, that we ran the most candidates in 25 years. We've got the highest number. I think if you go back 22 years ago, it was the same number of candidates, right? And you go back a few more years. But the point is that we accomplished that for the first time without paying people to help us do it. We did it totally ourselves. And that's a big deal. I think
there were a lot of people like you who were running their own campaigns and trying to volunteer and help other people to, you know, run campaigns too. It was, I mean, it's like when you were, what we accomplished is like, doesn't really represent how much of a struggle it really felt during the time we were doing it. Cause I think for a lot of us, it was just like, this is such a chaotic mess. How are we going to cross that finish line? And, you know, obviously we didn't, not that like we won, but like we made noise and got, a lot of people to show out and vote libertarian, and that's not nothing. I mean, especially for where we started from.
Yeah. We had candidates who even acknowledged that they weren't running a super serious campaign because it was kind of a practice run that got more than 20% of the vote.
Yeah.
Right. That's a really strong message.
Yeah. It's a strong showing for sure. And especially for someone like, me and Mike, we've been in the party since, oh gosh, at least 2017 now. So compared to that, like when we joined, there might have been like, oof, I don't want to like undersell it too much, but you might have had like 50 to 100 people attending a convention at most. And then like of the active members outside of just attending a convention, you might have had 20 to 30. Something crazy like that at that point. And now we're, you know, like Mike was saying, we got up to what, like 450 or something in our last convention. And this is just for Pennsylvania.
Right.
So, you know, just our membership rosters have really been going up too. The caucus didn't exist. So we have like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times more caucus members now than we did have people going to that one state convention just a couple years ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it can't be overstated that we're making a lot of progress, and you know, we've been making some progress on the issue coalition side too. Like Mike was able to get, you know, shrooms decriminalized in Norristown with just himself showing up to the city council meetings. And we've been able to basically take what he did and apply it as a template to other areas. But we really want to take it to the next level, and that's our goal for 2023. We want to take a lot of these things that we've been doing and ramp it up. So that's where the call to human action comes in. So everybody in Pennsylvania will be contacted shortly about the effort that we're doing. So we're going to be sending out a form that everyone can take a look at, and it'll give all the details about the upcoming state convention. I'll give a little teasers for that at the end, because we're going to have some good speakers for that. It'll talk about the national convention, and then I'll also talk about ways that you can get involved with the caucus and the state party right now, both of which are looking to expand their operations going forward, because in 2023, we have a big opportunity that we did not have in 2022. That's when we can, on the candidate side, run for what Mike often says are positions with teeth, like those city council races, the mayor races, everything like that. That's what is up for election in 2023 that we could not run for in 2022. So if there's ever time to put the decentralized revolution in action, this is it. This is our chance. So we're looking to get all hands on deck for this. So do either one of you have anything to add before I go into specifics?
I think what, just really know that one of the big lessons we learned, because we were really flying by the seat of our pants, we weren't left with any legacy advice about anything, you know, aside from training from Kara Schultz, but nothing local, right? Is that we've definitely got a better grasp on how important it is and how useful even the slightest little bit of support efforts are, and how we can take even people who just want to do a little something and add them in to help a candidate. So like, if you've made it this far and you're still listening, if you have the slightest little skill and you think you want to just put in a couple hours to help, I will bet we can put you in the right direction.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to start on it. So basically, if you sign up, then either Autumn, myself, Jacob, and we have a bunch of other organizers who are ready to work with you. Jamie, BJ, Regina, we're all ready and raring to help everybody fit into something that fits well for them, regardless of, you know, how much time you can actually put in or what skills or lack of skills you think you might have. You might be surprised at the kind of things that we're looking to do. Like, we're looking to expand the podcast, for instance. We're trying to get it into podcast form. We're trying to get some clips of certain parts of episodes out. Everything from something like that to helping to organize rallies. Like, there's an upcoming anti-war rally in DC that's coming up. And Regina's working on that now. But the more people we can have doing logistics for that, the better. The more people we have working on campaigns and running for office, the more positions with teeth we can get by November of 2023. So there's a lot of goals that we're looking to accomplish, and that's what we're trying to do. So anything else before I'll share my screen in a minute here, and I'll go over some of the details real quick. I won't like read through it line by line, but just to give people an idea.
No, I don't have anything to add. We can move on.
Okay. So this will all be linked in the form, so you don't have to read it too carefully here, but I'll just give a brief idea. So let's see. Well, while I'm getting this up, Jacob, what are your goals going into 2023? What are you looking to accomplish, both in terms of what you're looking to do and what you think that we as a caucus and a party can achieve in 2023?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been a bit of a journey. And when I first got involved, everything was sort of like state and national, right? Because we wanted to take over the state party or to take over the national party to make the changes there that we wanted to make. And, you know, now I think we're all shifting to local action, which has always been the plan. It's always been the focus of the Mises Caucus in terms of our vision. And, you know, so I'm the chair of York County. So first and foremost, you know, I got like a bunch of people, like, you know, young guys who are raw and fresh and, you know, young, bright libertarians that I want to get them active, want to get them plugged in, you know, whether it's writing newsletters, whether it's engaging on social media, whether it's going out and doing door knocking or organizing events in the community and whatnot. You know, I want to, you know, our county party has grown, and I want to, get those people active and, you know, make our county a vibrant part of the broader party apparatus. And, you know, on the caucus level, as an organizer, I want to continue to, you know, as people learn about the caucus and learn about the party and are interested, you know, keep pointing them and funneling them to the right spots. And, you know, really excited to be back here tonight on the podcast, and hopefully I can continue to work with all of you to push that message out there so that we can, you know, I mean, hopefully the podcast will reach some new people as well and bring them in, and also help to motivate and inform our current membership so that they can, you know, continue to find ways to be motivated and get plugged in.
All right, well said. So with that, I'll open this up to give people an idea of what we're looking to do. So, all right, so here's our form. Like I said, we'll be reaching out to everyone to just follow up and see how you all are doing and try to get an idea of what you can do to help us achieve these goals and to be a part of the larger decentralized revolution that we're trying to work on here. So we have information here, like you can find the dates for the LPPA annual convention that will be in Reading, Pennsylvania at the Doubletree. And then the national convention this year is real close by. It's in 2024, so it's a little while off. May 24th through 26th in Washington, D.C. But you can mark your calendar down. That's closer than it normally is. So we're lucky in that sense. And then if you're interested in running for office, you can put that down here as well. And we can get in touch with you and answer any questions you might have about that. And aside from running for office, there's various other opportunities. We're looking for region organizers to help with coordinate some of the events that we're looking to do, people to join the podcast, like you mentioned earlier. There's a bunch of different ways right now, and there's accompanying descriptions that I won't go into at the moment, but it'll all be explained a little bit more once we reach out to you. And there's also some at the state party level, there are some areas where they're looking for additional support as well, to help with county affiliates and issue coalitions and things along those lines, which is also explained on a separate spreadsheet there. So we'll be going over that, and the links for everything can be found down here. So here's the volunteer opportunities for the caucus. And then there's some volunteer opportunities for the state party down here as well. So either one of you have any comments before I navigate off of this?
You know, I mean, is it fair also, Calvin, to mention that, you know, we had, with the accomplishments of the Mises Caucus, took a lot of, resulted a lot of attrition, like people moving into new roles, right? So,
yes.
You know, honestly, I mean, if anybody is listening or watching this podcast and feels like you've not been connected enough after being, you know, brought into the organization over the past year, especially, like, know that we've been really working double time, triple time, people doing 3-4 different new jobs, trying to keep things on task. And if you feel like that you've not been, you know, properly connected since joining us, like, let me just say right now, I'm super sorry. We are really trying our best. And that's another opportunity we're looking to accomplish here with this, is resetting with anyone who might be, like, I don't even know that maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe there isn't anyone, but I feel like there's gotta be somebody who got lost in the shuffle just because maybe messages didn't get through to your local affiliate that you were new and you were here. And please forgive us if that's the case for anybody. I'm sure it is for somebody out there.
No, I mean, that's well said. And that's an excellent point. Cause I mean, I know it's the case for me on a certain level, but, you know, particularly for you, Autumn, I know you've been doing a lot, and Jacob, with, you know, helping us out here and being an organizer and, you know, running your county affiliate right now, we're all wearing a lot of different hats at the moment. Mm-hmm. So
we're just starting to get the feel for it, right?
Yeah, it gives us good experience, but it also means that we can't focus on certain areas that we might be good at as much as we might want to.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I think that's the point. We hit the point where like, okay, we're finally proficient at a few things and we're looking back and going like, oh gosh, it could have been a little better. And so that's a little bit, I mean, I know that's not the primary motive of the survey, but that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to following up on is making sure that anybody who's not quite involved to the level that they want to be.
Yeah. So I'll just cap it off by saying like with our call to human action initiative, it'll pair well with the decentralized revolution that specifically the Project Decentralized Revolution that Mike was talking about, because in order to pull off the kind of campaigns that he's talking about, making sure we have like the manpower and the resources to do it, we're going to need as many people aboard as we can. As many people helping as we can get. And that's what the goal of the call to human action is on our part, on the part of the PA team, to try to bring people in and get us ready for 2023 and our projects that we're going to be working on. So any final thoughts before I do some teasers on the state convention?
I'm good.
Jacob? Okay, so I will pull up my notes here. Let's see. Okay, so Pennsylvania State Convention, as we've been saying, March 3rd through 5th, which is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of 2023, we'll be at the Doubletree Hotel in Reading, Pennsylvania. So that's going to be, we expect to be even bigger than the convention that we had this past year, which had around 450 people. So we expect there's going to be a lot of people. Pennsylvania is already one of the larger state parties, not just in terms of members of the caucus, but, you know, members and active members of the party as a whole. We've had, I'm trying to remember. I think we've had Dave Smith there for the past 2 years, and I don't know if any other state can say that. Maybe like one or two, but not that many. We had Tom Woods last year, too. That was a really good time.
There are some perks to sharing a state with the chair of the caucus.
Yes, there certainly are. So, and I got confirmation that I wasn't able to say it for a while, but I am finally able to reveal who the confirmed speakers are for the convention. So are you ready for this? You ready? Okay. So the confirmed speakers so far are Shane Hazel from the Georgia Senate and most recently gubernatorial race. So he's big on Bitcoin. He's a very good speaker overall. We're very excited to have him. And then our homeboy, Maj Touré, he will be there as well.
Excellent. Maj was my favorite speech in Reno.
Yeah. I've known him for a couple of years and that even caught me off guard, I'll admit.
Everyone talks about that speech and I need to find a recording of it. I've not heard it yet.
It's on the Mises Caucus main channel. You got to find it there.
Did everyone in my family listen to it? And
it's very telling. Telling in terms of some of the predictions is that I don't know if it's a prediction, but I think once you see it, you'll know what we're talking about when, you know, we say at least some of it, what he was describing came to pass. But I think it still made people think. I can't go into it because that would take the whole rest of the episode. But so anyway, he's going to come and maybe stump us again. And then the last guest that I can announce right now is, once again, Dave Smith.
Yay.
So he will be there as well. So I'm not, well, I don't know how much I can say about this either, but we might have a potential future presidential ticket. You never know with the two of them around.
You know, I'll tell you what's funny, as much as Dave Smith's popularity outranks Maj, I'm more excited to see Maj.
No, I mean, I think he's earned it. Like he had amazing speech, and you know, I've known him going at least back to the city council campaign he did in 2019, and that
also
like
a bit of a little bit of justice. You know what I mean? Considering some of the troubled history Maj has had with the party and speaking.
Yeah, that's true too. Because I mean, it wasn't exactly his fault. But what I mean by that is like there was kind of the final nail in the coffin on the divide in the Pennsylvania party several years back. Mm-hmm. You know, it started because of him, like just something that he did that they took issue with that we wouldn't. So it's not like he caused a divide directly, but it was something that he did that was the final nail in the coffin. That
line in the sand, right?
Yeah, that's I can't get into the details because that's too long of a story.
It sounds like
if anyone catches me at convention, then ask me about it and I'll tell you.
I've only heard it secondhand, but I've heard it told many times.
I saw it unfold in real time, so it was pretty crazy. Oh, yeah. I got in the middle of it a few times, too. That's another story.
You're always getting into trouble, yeah. Calvin. I don't understand about you.
I'm always in the center of trouble. I just usually don't cause it. Usually. Anyway, so to finish the teaser, early bird tickets will be available soon. The website will be launched imminently, and package prices will be lower than they have been the past few years. So take that, inflation. Anyway,
and don't forget, if money's super tight for you, you can still participate because it's no charge to participate in business.
So libertarians aren't impacted inflation, and if you still if you choose not to buy a package, I should say, then you can still participate in the convention business for free. And one other little factoid that I learned is the Doubletree in question, the one in Reading, is actually the highest rated Doubletree in the United States.
Ooh, oh, wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, so there you go. And then I also have here that I'll say some of the perks of the packages that you can get if you do buy them. So the lower packages will get you certain meals and the speakers, some combination thereof. I don't have the exact details on which package gets you what, but I can say with the gold package, it includes a special cocktail hour, a headshot studio, good for anyone who's looking to be a candidate, a photo booth, and then you also can get a special convention coin. They're having those made. And you get express credentialing at the convention as well as bar service.
I know that we're working on special nights too, like a ladies' night. And being in the conversation about setting up the ladies' night, it could involve things like craftiness. If that's your jam, we'll have a little craft corner. I might bring my Cricut machine, which has become famous a little bit.
Yeah. That's another thing that has been a pleasant, I don't want to say surprise, but a change from previous trends, let's say, that it there have been more and more women coming to conventions. Which I think is awesome. It's a great, it's a, you know, it's a great change comes to have there. So it's good that we can do more things like that. And cause I think it'll do good to bring more in and have a little more differences of opinion is ultimately what we need, because you know, sometimes if we get heated, you can bring us back down to earth, and you know, the balance is very much needed.
Happy to bring it.
As a married man, I can say that men behave better when their wives are present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even female friends, that helps too.
Well, you know, I'll say right now, if my husband is in the next room and can hear this, he's already like champing at the bit to make a joke about this. He got sick last convention and he ended up staying in the hotel room the whole time being sick. And he keeps busting on me saying that he's going to continue to not show up to things so that people say that he's a figment of my imagination. And I hear him.
I've never actually met him in person. So up to this point, he still is.
We're going to chase him down. There he is.
Okay. I caught a glimpse of him, but he might as well have been a leprechaun. Because I only saw him for a fraction of a second.
Where in the world is Autumn's husband?
He's real. You need to have him stand in a crowd, and I'll have to like pick him out from a distance or something. Like, where's John? Like, where's Waldo?
Just bring like a cutout on a stick.
weekend at John's. Like, he'll just carry a stick around all weekend.
It's just like, where's Waldo? Yeah, totally. Anyway, so that's So he'll get a little more mileage off of that joke, I'm sure. He threatens to not go to everything. He's not coming to the Christmas party this weekend, so he's really excited that that's on the list now, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. I should probably make a plug for the Christmas parties before we hop off. So there are two Christmas parties this coming weekend. So we have the Montgomery County Christmas party, which is a tradition going back possibly longer than my involvement in the party. So it goes back a long ways. Tickets, as far as I know, are still available. You can buy those. I'll post the link in a minute here. That is in, I always get Pottsville and Pottstown mixed up, but it's in the one that's in Montgomery County. I'll be able to say it in a minute. The other one is just near State College that is hosted by Center County and the LPPA. So both of those parties are happening on the night of the 3rd. So if you were in the area of one of those events, then you can go attend. So while I'm getting those links, any final thoughts on anything that we talked about?
I mean, to echo a little bit what we were talking about earlier, I mean, I think there's definitely, just because of how busy we've been, probably some people in areas that have kind of slipped through the cracks, and we're kind of looking to chomping at the bit to, in the next year, you know, work on that and trying to get more people plugged in that maybe we've missed and haven't had a chance to follow up with. And there might be some people who, you know, joined but didn't get active right away, but because maybe, you know, they were busy, had things going on in their lives with work or family, or, you know, they just wanted to join and sort of like, you know, see what was going on. And maybe they're, you know, haven't, you know, been found their niche yet, or haven't felt super comfortable to get involved. But, you know, now's the time. I think we're more in a position now than we've ever been to provide you with that support to help show you, you know, now that we have the experience ourselves, we can show you and help you along the way with getting plugged in. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot at once, but, you know, if you believe in the things that we stand for in decentralization and promoting, you know, peace and social cooperation, you know, at all areas of life, and, you know, wanting to stand up against the growing authoritarianism and tyranny that our ruling class elites, you know, continue to push down on us. And, you know, if you want to participate in that and be part of that, you know, now's the time. And we have the people with the experience and the resources to help you, whether that's helping you to start a county affiliate or to get involved and grow your county affiliate more, or to get involved on issue coalitions if that's your passion, or if you want to run a campaign or help out on a campaign. There's so many ways you can get involved and help. And the nice thing is, like, it's not all going to be on you. You don't have to feel like you have to get involved and do everything yourself, because we got a lot of people, a lot of organizers, a lot of volunteers. And so if you've been sitting on the sidelines just because, like, you've been waiting for the right moment, this is that moment. And I'm really excited to be part of that, to see decentralized revolution happen in 2023 and set up a certain, you know, potential presidential run in 2024. And the next 2 years are going to be a blast. They're going to probably come with hiccups that we haven't even seen or foreseen, can't even possibly foresee yet. But that's life. And I'm just excited to be part of part of this group with you, Calvin, and you, Autumn, and the rest of the organizers and members. We have such an amazing crew, and you know, I'm just ready for that roller coaster ride and for all the challenges we'll overcome and the things we'll accomplish together.
Autumn, you got anything to wrap us up?
No, I don't know. I feel like I left it all on the table today. I think that the Mises Caucus, you know, I've already alluded to the fact that I only came on board. It hasn't even been a full year. We're just rounding a year that I've been actively involved. I was a registered libertarian for many years prior, but and it was only the Mises Caucus that pulled me in. I was railing against my company's vaccine mandate and standing up for a lot of people, even people I didn't agree with. And the Libertarian Party was nowhere to be seen. And that was why the Mises Caucus was doing what they were doing. That's an indicator of why they were doing what they were doing. And so I've been here just long enough to see kind of the pile that we were left with when we did take over. And we have done an amazing job of pulling it back together. And what's really sad is that there was probably some great stuff that was lost in that transition. And I'm so grateful for the people who aren't Mises, who have stayed plugged in, you know, because I wasn't here long enough to build any animosity towards anybody. So I'm just kind of like the middle child going like, hey, why can't we get along? So it's really nice seeing the people that are working to keep everybody friendly and cohesive and make us all better. And I'm amazed at the change that I'm seeing from when I got active and then got to see how things were really working to how I see things are already improving. It's amazing. I'm so proud to be part of the movement, and I appreciate you guys. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much, Autumn and Jacob. That was a good way as any to wrap it up. So I'll just do a quick recap of the things that we talked about. So Mises Caucus is doing the Project Decentralized Revolution and Run as Libertarian, as well as the Take Human Action Tour. So the websites for that right now are projectdecentralizedrevolution.com. We have runaslibertarian.com for candidates, takehumanaction.com to sign up for or donate to the Mises Caucus. And then we also have the holiday parties. I'm not going to read those links out. And then if you're in Pennsylvania, we will be sending out the call to human action shortly. You'll be getting texted, emailed, a bunch of different contacts about that. So we'll be publishing that shortly. And the last thing, which I can't believe I didn't remember it up to this point, the last day to join as a member to participate in the business of the state convention is 2 days from now, December 3rd. So make sure you sign up for membership by then if you are not a member already. So that's lppa.org/contribute/join, which I will also put in the comments. I am glad I remember to say that because that's kind of important.
We'll put it first in our follow-up communications. We'll move it up.
Yeah. So if you want to participate in the business, that's when you got to do it. That's when you got to sign up. So just threw that in the comments as well. And I think I will end it at that point. So thanks again, everyone, for joining. And we'll talk to you next week. We'll have Torin Danowski on to talk about what he's been doing recently with Don't Tread on Philly and with some of the cultural issues that he's tackling. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. So until then, don't forget to take human action and have a good night.
Good night.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.